Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so excited to be able to open the Bible today and bring you a message from God's book, God's Eternal Word. We hope that we are ministering to a growing audience. We have a fire still burning within our hearts here at the Holy Church of God to see other people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and to see Christians stirred in a time when it's so easy to be caught up in so many distractions and so many discouragements. We pray today that this broadcast will help you to keep your focus squarely upon the Lord in these days. The Bible said we're to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And that word or phrase, actually, looking unto Jesus, means to set your gaze upon Him. That's why we titled this broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus. Amen. We're going to cover a lot of different subjects, but the centerpiece of all that we speak about here, and really all the Bible is the centerpiece of all the teachings of Scripture, is Jesus and Him crucified. We're so glad today to be a proclaimer of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord, we pray that you will stay tuned and listen to what the Scripture has to say, because we're talking about trusting God in troubled times. And what an important message this is for people living in this generation, and not only this generation in terms of years and time, but this generation concerning prophetic time. So we want to bring you a message that I believe will help everyone that stays tuned to this broadcast to see things through the lens of prophecy being fulfilled. You know, Jesus said, when you see these things, and a lot of them were negative things that would be coming upon the earth in the last days, He said to His children, His people that would be living in that generation, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. So this is not a time to be cast down. This is a time to be filled with anticipation, because Jesus is coming back real soon. And I know people have been saying that for so long, so many people scoff at that very statement. And that even that is a fulfillment and a last day sign. The Scripture declares that scoffers will come in the last days, walking after their own lust, saying, "Where is the sign of His coming? For ever since our fathers slept or have died and passed on," we've heard this, but the Bible said that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all have eternal life. Isn't it good to know that God is patiently waiting and calling to everyone who will hear that there is a forgiveness for you today. There is salvation for you today. There's room in the ark for you today. And there's room at the cross for you, as the old song says. God is waiting, and He will not prematurely come and close the door and lock anyone out. This offer stands today, and you have the opportunity, as you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to come to know Him this very day, to enter into the ark of safety and to be saved eternally. Hallelujah. But between here and eternity with God, we face some troubled times, and the Lord wants us to trust Him in times like these. We're studying from chapter 112 from the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. And I'm just going to read verse 7 again as we continue our study today. The Bible, and this is a profile of someone who is right with God. I'm going to tell you something today. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. and again and again and again. There is nothing wrong with getting right with God. If you hear a message about getting right with God and you're right with God, then it's just going to be a confirmation that the choice you made to commit your life wholly and totally to Him and to live a life as a follower of Jesus, to seeking to obey the Lord with a tender heart, amen. It's not going to bother you to hear a message on getting right with God. And if you're not right with God, I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible's very clear that there's tension between you and God. You know, the lack of peace you may be experiencing in your life may not just be because of a fallen world and faulty flesh and an enemy of your soul called the devil. It could be our own heart needs to be humbled before the Lord. If that be the case, I pray you stay tuned today and you hear this challenge from the Word of God, because this is a profile of a man or a woman who is right with God, a boy or a girl that is saved. The Bible said in verse 7, and you can read the entire psalm if you would like, but I'm lifting verse 7 as our text. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, until, because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I'm going to read the next verse. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. And then it talks about his righteousness, him doing things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. I am not talking about sinless perfection, which no one but Jesus Christ attained. I'm not talking about being perfect in everything without any flaw or any need or reason to repent. I'm telling you today, there is a standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ called righteousness. And it simply means right, wise with God. And if you're endeavoring to do right and you're not walking in rebellion against Him, open insurrection against Him, I want you to know today, God counts that righteousness. If you're trusting Christ by faith to give you victory today, amen, that faith is imputed to you as righteousness. And God is in your corner and God is on your side. And there is a peace of knowing that not only that God is in control, but God is for you personally today. And we want to talk about that. Let me read this again from Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This standing with God gives us peace with God. And when we have peace with God, we can enjoy the peace of God. Praise the Lord. And there's a boldness that comes when we enter into this privileged place. And we've talked about being right with God and how to get right with God through coming to Christ as our Savior and beginning to follow Him, becoming an authentic Christian and enjoying and employing the peace of God that passes all understanding. And once we achieve this peace, this progression from righteousness to peace progresses again into spiritual joy, or as the Bible says, joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, listen to the progression, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me read first from Psalm 16 and verse 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read from Revelation 7 and verse 9. It says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. See, in Christian symbolism, the palm has always been used to represent joy, and especially that joy which comes from victory. Doubtless this symbol came into the church through the use of, and through the mode, actually, of palm branches by the Greek and Romans to celebrate their triumphs over their enemies. But to Christians, the palm symbolizes victory over self and over the world. The great multitude of the redeemed are represented as standing before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. That's a symbol of our righteousness, our standing before Him. And what do they have in their hands? They have palms in their hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. This victory we have in Jesus, this right that we now have to go behind the veil, to enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ, and to come into God's very presence, where I just read you is fullness of joy. To know the fellowship, the spiritual communion that we can enjoy with God the Father through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit is absolutely, well, let me tell you how the Bible says it better than I can say it. Jesus, or Peter said of Jesus, whom having not seen you love, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The glory and the joy of this relationship with God that we can enjoy through Jesus Christ, amen, is called a joy in the Holy Ghost. You get right with God, you have peace with God, and then you begin to enjoy the peace of God, and then we can fellowship the Father, amen, and the Son. And the Bible said the result of that is joy in the Holy Ghost. Someone said religion without relationship is a dead man-made institution, a form of godliness denying both the power and the privilege thereof. Joy in the Holy Ghost is primarily the joy of fellowship with God. God is with us in a tangible way. He lives within us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. We do not just lift up our hands in praise. We're waving palms of victory. Hallelujah. And the songwriter said it well in the song, Palms of Victory. He said, palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. And he's talking about the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Sin is vanquished through the blood that was shed on that old rugged cross. And since our sins are forgiven, we can have fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Through the standing called righteousness. Praise the Lord. And this standing with God is an awesome standing. I want to read this to you from Nehemiah 8, verse 1 through 10, if you would like to see the context of this. But I'm just going to read verse 10 for time's sake, because this is the return of those people, God's people, back to the holy city and back into their land from captivity. And they're not only coming back home to their land when God turned their captivity, but they're coming back to following God, to keeping His commandments. And when they heard the law read to them by Ezra, the high priest, and in the book of Nehemiah, amen, chapter 8, they were convicted in their heart, and they began to weep in repentance and contrition. But you know what he told them to do? He told them to quit weeping. He told them, now you've repented it, your fellowship, relationship has been restored with God. And listen to this. You're going to recognize a scripture that many of you Christians are very familiar with. And this is the text that it comes from and the context that it is in. Verse 10 says of Nehemiah 8, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. See, once you repent, God doesn't want you carrying guilt any further. God has forgiven you. Who is it that's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's what is written in the New Testament. Amen. It's God that justifies. It is Christ that God that died for us. What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Particularly in the area of accusing us for past sins that are now under the blood of Jesus, washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Neither be ye sorry. They had already been weeping in godly sorrow. But he said, that's it. You've repented. God has forgiven. Amen. So don't carry that guilt and that sorrow any further. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You may be carrying a burden of guilt around with you. If you're a Christian, it's time you laid it down. And if you're not a Christian, it's time you repented of your sin and asked Jesus into your heart, because you can lay that heavy burden down today. Glory be to God. And you can know the joy of a soul set free, of sins forgiven, of God's favor in your life. Hallelujah. And God's acceptance. The Bible said we're accepted in the Beloved. He accepts you in Jesus Christ as if you had never sinned. That is the glory of this forgiveness. God forgives us and forgets that we ever sinned against Him. He doesn't hold it against us. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm glad today to be a preacher of this gospel. There is nothing in the world better than coming to know Jesus as your Savior and laying the heavy burden of guilt and shame down. God don't want you burdened down. He don't want you afraid to die. He don't want you afraid of what awaits after death, the judgment to come. He wants you safe and secure in joy and peace, the peace with God and the peace of God. And He wants to have a relationship with you that is unbroken by sin, a fellowship, a communion with you, where the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Praise the Lord. This Hebrew word here for strength is ma'uz, ma'uz. And it means a place, a means of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold, place of safety, fastness, a harbor, again, stronghold, and God Himself becoming our refuge. Didn't the Bible say in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble? Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. No matter what the calamity, the cataclysmic event that may happen, if we know we're right with God, we know our sins are forgiven, we know that God is with us, praise God, peace will rule and reign in our heart, fear will not be able to paralyze us, and the joy of the Lord will become our strength. I want to declare to you first and foremost that while every generation of Christians needed this strength in the Lord, none needed it more than those who would live in the last days. We're living in a time that the joy of the Lord is crucial to sustaining true spiritual strength. I believe that with all of my heart. This place of strength, this stronghold in the book of Nehemiah, is only found in a right relationship with God. And this right relationship with God is only found through repentance. Before anyone can claim the scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength, we have to understand that is in the context of getting right with Him. See, the progression is always the same in scripture. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. You can't get joy in the Holy Ghost without being right with God. You can't have peace, the peace of God, until you have peace with God. And repentance brings you into that place. Praise God. I don't know why people are afraid of the message of repentance. I've heard preachers say we should barely mention that. We don't want to scare anybody away. Honey, repentance is a positive, powerful event in the life of anyone who bows before a holy God. Amen. To get our sins forgiven, to get the joy of the Lord and have strength in these troubled times, amen, in a time when so many people are fearful, so many people are filled with anxiety, to be living in peace because we know in our heart that sin is not prevailing, but righteousness through Jesus Christ. This is an incredible, powerful, positive call to repentance. Everywhere repentance is mentioned in Scripture, it is not to put us down and fill us with condemnation. It is to set us free from guilt and fear, to fill us with peace and joy. Hallelujah. So I preach repentance and I practice repentance. Praise God. Amen. When I have a bad attitude, I go before God and I say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me. I don't want to lose this precious peace. And I can't live without the joy of the Lord as my strength. Praise God. I want to read you something that David Wilkerson said, and I quote, most Christians never associate joy with repentance. But repentance is actually the mother of all joy in Jesus. Without it, there can be no joy. Yet any believer or congregation who walks in repentance will be flooded with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I like that statement. And he went on to say, what is missing in multitudes of churches today is the thing most needed by the lost, genuine, soul-satisfying joy. Those weeping Israelites of Nehemiah's day were tapping into the joy of the Lord's forgiveness and restoration. They wept before he told them to not be sorry. Amen. To lift up their heads. Matthew Henry comments this way, and I quote, after they had wept, they rejoiced. Holy mourning makes for holy mirth. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those that tremble at the conviction of the word may triumph in the consolations of it. Praise God. Amen. The writer of Amazing Grace said, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear in one of the verses, and grace my fears relieved. You see, a man or a woman, boy or girl, that is right with God is not afraid of evil tidings. Our heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen. I heard a testimony of a man who went to visit a very prominent person in the music industry who had bodyguards because of fear for his life around him, because there had been and are incidents of people being killed or kidnapped or held for ransom, different things. So he lived in kind of a compound. His mansion had big walls around it. He had armed bodyguards. And when they came to visit him by invitation, the message didn't get to his bodyguards, and they came walking through the gate because they had an invitation, and the gate opened. But when they entered the house, the bodyguards were not alerted that they were coming, and one of the bodyguards came around the corner and pointed a gun at one of these three people who came to share Christ with this man. And when he pointed the gun at him, the man just smiled and said, instant death, instant glory. Only a Christian can look death in the eye and smile and say, if the Lord wants me to live, I'll live. If he wants me to come home, I'll go home. But one thing is for sure, it won't be that man with that gun that makes that decision. It'll be my Father in heaven. And instant death means instant glory. It doesn't mean my life is over. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, the Christian faith is a powerful faith in troubled times. I don't know exactly what the future holds. I know through the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, other books of the Bible, that there is going to be some tough times on this planet. But I'm going to tell you something. I am a child of the Most High God. Amen. And I am not afraid of evil tidings because my heart is fixed trusting in the Lord. You know, I don't know how far gas is going to keep going. I don't know where it will top out or if it will top out. I don't know what may happen economically here in America. I don't know what will happen as far as wars and rumors of wars. I don't know where we're headed. I don't know what is going to happen in our world. We can't see all of those things except through the prophecies of Scripture. But one thing I do know, amen, I know that I have a Father in heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I know that He is in ultimate control. I know that whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. And that peace, that consolation, that joy of knowing Him in this kind of relationship is a joy that isn't shaken by evil tidings or bad news. Hallelujah. A man told me very recently, we were sitting eating together, and he said, you know, I don't even want to pick up the paper anymore. He said, I heard a psychologist on television, a prominent psychologist, saying, you know, it's better you don't read the paper. It's better you don't listen to the news too much, because it is detrimental to your health. Why? Because all the news is bad. It's evil tidings. It's bad news. It's negative. Whether it's global warming, whether it's the oil crisis, whether it's the stock market shaking, the mortgages being foreclosed, we're living in troubled times. Whether it's the AIDS epidemic, whether it's all of these different things that can touch us, whether it's our foodstuffs from time to time becoming tainted. Oh, God in heaven, how we need this precious peace and how we need this joy to strengthen us in these troubled days. Oh, friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus, amen, I believe He's talking to you right now about getting right with God by receiving Him as your personal Savior. This is not a negative message, this call to repentance. This is God's love reaching out, wanting to forgive, wanting to restore our souls, and wanting to give us this precious peace. Praise the Lord. Someone else said, fear God, and you need fear nothing else. The joy of the Lord is your strength, because the joy of the Lord is the joy of sins forgiven. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a relationship restored with God. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a clear conscience. The joy of the Lord is the joy of certain victory in every battle that we may face. If God be for us, who can be against us? The joy of the Lord is the joy of a covenant that is in effect. We can claim the promises of God. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is the joy of answered prayer. The joy of the Lord is the joy of God's presence made manifest to us. The joy of the Lord made David dance before the Ark of the Covenant. The joy of the Lord caused Israel to shout down the walls of Jericho. The joy of the Lord caused the glory to fill the temple and the people when the people sang praise to God. The joy of the Lord shook a prison cell and set the captives free when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord shook the New Testament church when a lame man came in running and leaping and praising God. The joy of the Lord is evidence of true repentance. And God wants us to repent and reclaim the joy of the Lord and renew our strength. Listen, friend, in these closing moments, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the joy of the Lord can strengthen you for whatever lies ahead, and I'm including what happens after death. The joy of knowing that you will go into God's presence when you die is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why don't you open your heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life? Right where you are, open your life to Him and ask Him to come in, forgive your sin, and set you free. And if you're a Christian today, amen, and you're carrying around a load of guilt, it's time you laid it down. God doesn't want you to live your whole life being sorry for something that He has forgiven. He wants you, after you repent, to go on and never look back, but only look forward and look up to His coming. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. We love you. We want you to come back next week. Don't miss it.